Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We normally love taking risks on this show, but today it's all about players to avoid this season. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, filling in for Joey P today. And joining me today, as always, are two of the best analysts in the industry. We have Derek Brown. D-Bro, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm a little bit, it's a different feeling to be the only bald guy on the show today. I know Andrew is trying. He's got a fresh do, fresh cut. So he's trying to be like me, but, we talked about this pre-show. The sad thing is his will grow back, mine won't, but all in all, things are good, man.
That's good to hear. Meanwhile, I'm overdue for a haircut, as anybody watching on YouTube can see, so kind of the opposite here. Erickson, I don't really want to give you a nice intro here because I'm kind of annoyed with you. Today, we're going to be talking about on the show players to avoid. You gave away your entire list on Twitter this morning. What were you thinking?
That is not true whatsoever. I gave away 5 of my 10 players that we're going to talk about because I'm trying to promote the article on the site, Wormley. Okay, so I'm trying to do things the right way. Get the clicks, of course. Yeah. But no, I'm excited. I want to get people hyped up for the podcast. They're like, oh, I want to get more in depth with Andrew's avoid players. Like, let's go. Big pod energy coming at you.
Ryan's going to show his disdain by not liking your tweet with the Fantasy Pros account.
As a social media guy, I get being all about that clicks life, so I can respect that. You've won me back over. I hope you're doing well as well. Speaking of Twitter, I want to give everybody our Twitter handles. D-Bros is at D-Bro_FFB. Andrew's is at Andrew_Erickson_. And I can be found at Ryan Wormley. That's Wormley like how you dress when it's cold outside. And of course, we can be found everywhere at Fantasy Pros. I also want to mention our latest giveaway going on at fantasypros.com/contest, where you can enter to win a free signed Javonte Williams helmet. All our listeners have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, take a screenshot and submit it at fantasypros.com/contest to have a chance to win. Just make sure you enter before the end of June when the contest ends. And while you're at it, check out everything we have to offer on our YouTube channel. It's the best way to experience this video, but even beyond just our fantasy football podcasts, it's where all of our quick hitting analysis videos live, live streams, a whole lot more all year long. So make sure you're subscribed and click the bell to get notifications for all of our latest videos. Fellas, as we mentioned, today's episode is all about players to avoid in drafts this season. Just to get the caveats out of the way, this is for 2022 only, not from the dynasty angle. And these picks can be based on purely ADP, someone's going too high, or based more on the player. You might understand the draft capital, but there's just too many potential pitfalls with the player, or obviously most likely some combination of both of those factors. We're going to be going from 10 to 1, with 10 being the least risky and 1 being the most risky player to avoid in drafts this season. We've got a lot of players to get through, so we'll jump right into it. D-Bro, I'll start with you. Your number 10 player to avoid.
Well, I've been called a hater, and I'm sure people are just going to love all the names that I go down this list. But the guy that I got to start out with is Robert Woods, and he makes it in at 10 for me because you're not having to pay a lot in draft capital to get him. I mean, he's going as the wide receiver 43, 103rd overall in drafts right now, or at least in the ADP. And I just can't talk myself into Robert Woods this year, guys. Like, there's so many different red flags. Like, I was out on him last year because of, if you look at his efficiency over the last few seasons, walking into last year, his yards per route run had declined in each of the last 4 years. And now he's 30 years old. He's post ACL. Even if we project that he's going to be fully healthy to start the year, we do see an effectiveness dip in a lot of players coming off of ACL surgeries. Oh, and to boot, he's going to a team that we know is going to run slow, and they're going to run the ball a lot. Like, Tennessee was 22nd in neutral script pace last year, and they had a top five neutral rushing rate. So even though Robert Woods is going outside the top 40, still stay away, guys. Like, if you look at my ranks, he's somewhere in the 50s for me. So not going to end up with a lot of Bobby Trees this year.
Does the Titans drafting of Treylon Burks affect your opinion of him at all in that, A, he's not maybe going to get all the attention from opposing defenses, but also, like, he's not going to get as many targets?
I just don't see the upside with Woods. Like, I don't see that there's going to be enough volume in this offense to counteract how efficient or inefficient he's going to be. Adding Treylon Burks, I mean, if you want an upside swing in that offense, it's Treylon Burks or it's nobody, because I just don't see the upside with Woods. Like, I don't think he's going to garner enough volume to overcome the lack of production we're probably going to see at him on a per route and catch basis.
That's fair. Erickson, who's your number 10?
My number 10 is Buffalo Bills tight end Dawson Knox, 84 overall, tight end 9. And I think just kind of starting off with tight ends that I typically like to avoid is guys going in this middle range. Basically, what I found was tight ends that get drafted like 8, 9, 10, 11 basically put up similar production to guys that you get tight end 17, tight end 18, tight end 19. So it's not to say that Dawson Knox can't finish as tight end 9 where his ADP is, but what does that actually do for you? It doesn't help you in the long run with your total roster. So just looking at some of Knox's red flags coming in on his profile last year, 14% target rate per route run, ranked last among all tight ends with at least 50 targets. And I don't necessarily think that the competition around him got easier. They added in Jamison Crowder. You know, we've been hearing a lot of buzz about Crowder being a potential Cole Beasley type player. That means he's going to see like 100 targets in this offense. That's going to throw a lot. So you have to account for Jamison Crowder. Gabriel Davis, really high on Gabriel Davis, taking us a third year leap. Okay. And he's someone that is a player that can potentially take away from Dawson Knox production, which was related to touchdowns last year. So you have impending touchdown regression from Dawson Knox. You have his super low target rate. I think that he's going to fall in the target pecking order. And they also added, as kind of like a third element, OJ Howard to the fold. Now, I don't know what Howard's role is going to be, but it's still another body that could potentially take away from Knox. So even if Knox, you know, matches his ADP, you're going to look back and be like, man, I should have just waited for another tight end much later on if you're going to follow that approach.
Are there any tight ends in that range that you are interested in, or just totally philosophically you're going for a running back or receiver in that area?
I think that it depends on where Dalton Schultz kind of goes. Like, he's, I would actually argue that Dalton Schultz probably fits more into like the elite tight end category than the actual middle tier where he's being drafted. So he's kind of at the beginning of that middle tier. So besides him, I'm probably just going to wait, because it's just like the Gesicki's, Dallas Goedert. So you see these guys like, oh yeah, it'll be a back end tight end one. And then you get back end tight end one production. You're like, man, I like way overdrafted this guy when I could have just waited to get Cole Kmet or another player like that.
Speaking of tight ends, D-Bro, give me your number 9 player to avoid.
So yeah, I'll stay on the tight end position. And this really comes down to, I think we're drafting this guy at or above his ceiling. So what kind of value are you going to get out of TJ Hockenson, who's going currently 60th overall, tight end 6, as a player that his, we talk about guys that like, Erickson was talking about Dawson Knox and his situation improving over the offseason, or well, not improving. T.J. Hockenson didn't see his situation improve either. I mean, we talk about an offense that added D.J. Chark, Jameson Williams, if he's good to go, Amon-Ra St. Brown's walking into his second season, and a healthy DeAndre Swift. We've seen Hockenson put up back-to-back tight end seven finishes, and while his metrics are good on paper, 13th and 14th in yards per route run, if his target share gets diluted, which he has already been up there as far as target share, as far as targets per snap, top 10 in both seasons. And so it's really like, do we see a lot of room for him to grow? Or is his targets going to go down and his effectiveness and productiveness from a fantasy angle going to go down? Because now he's got to compete for targets against all these similarly talented players. If Hockenson was elite in the sense like, he's top five in yards per route run over the last 2 years, and I believe in his ability to draw targets at a high rate, and he's doing a ton with them, I'd possibly still be in, because maybe I could tell myself a story of ceiling and him outproducing that tight end seven range, but I just don't see it, guys. So right now, going as the tight end six, it's being drafted over his ceiling because I have him more as a low-end tight end one or right at his ceiling.
Yeah, looking at the rankings we have on the site right now, I'm not sure if you guys have updated yours since these were posted, but Debro, you have Hockenson at 102nd overall. Erickson, you've got him at 74th, so you're a bit higher on him.
Yeah, I mean, I still like some of Hockenson's upside in terms of what he could do in this potential offense. Like, he was pretty good last year in terms of, you know, targets per game before he got hurt, and I think that we all kind of were expecting him to take this massive leap. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Mark Andrews the year prior in 2020. I know that a lot of people were staking their claim on Mark Andrews as I was going to take this massive leap, and he didn't, but he was just kind of like the same year over year. And then he ended up taking the leap the next year when his ADP fell into like the fifth round, when people were taking him the third round. Oh, he's going to overtake Kelsey. That didn't end up happening. So I can still see a path where Hockenson does take a big leap, depending on if Jameson Williams, when he does come back to the offense, you know, it's, for me, it really seems like it's either going to be Hockenson that breaks out, or it's going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown that continues to eat. Like, these guys, I don't think can really coexist. So I understand, you know, if you wanted to take a shot on Hockenson based on the fact that he plays tight end versus I can find other receivers that can match Amon-Ra St. Brown's production.
Erickson, I'll stick with you. Who's your number nine player to avoid?
My number nine player, wide receiver, DK Metcalf for the Seattle Seahawks. Overall, 42, wide receiver, 15. Look, guys, he thrives off touchdown production. 32 touchdowns over the last three seasons, over his first three seasons in the NFL. How many touchdowns are the Seahawks going to score this year? Let's be realistic here when we're talking about this Seahawks offense led by the dynamic duo Batman and Robin, Drew Lock and Geno Smith. Look, I just think that maybe one of these Seattle pass catchers of Lockett or DK Metcalf could get there based on volume, because we know it's not going to be efficient. But there's no way I'm taking that shot on a guy that's going wide receiver 15. When you look at Metcalf versus Lockett over the last two seasons, they have nearly an identical target share over the last two seasons. Lockett has outscored Metcalf in terms of PPR fantasy points per game over the last two seasons. Now, I'm not trying to debate, you know, you should rank Lockett over Metcalf, but Lockett is wide receiver 40 in ADP and ECR. Metcalf is a top 15 wide receiver. So at the end of the day, we're going to look and see them, oh, wow, their production was very similar once again. But you didn't have to pay anything to get Lockett, where you have to pay so much to get DK Metcalf. And I'm just avoiding receivers that are pricey on bad offenses. Now, even if the Seahawks add Baker Mayfield, yeah, I would be more open to drafting Metcalf, but not if Baker Mayfield lands in Metcalf or lands in Seattle, then Metcalf goes into the top 10. It's like, well, sorry, I saw Baker Mayfield play with Odell Beckham Jr. last year, and it was not pretty. So I will let someone else draft DK Metcalf based on the current, you know, quarterback room in Seattle.
Debro, give me your number eight player to avoid.
All right, so this is not because I think he's a bad player. This comes down to, I think there are other talented players on this depth chart, and I can't pay the price right now on Damian Harris. He's going 64th overall, RB26. There are some spots where you'll see him go as a top 24 running back. And I understand that he produced as such. He was really good last year. I'm not shading the guy that finished last year 8th in breakaway run rate, 16th in evaded tackles. But considering he had 15 total touchdowns, and that was the 5th most in the NFL, and he had the 12th most red zone touches, I can't discount the fact that Ramondre Stevenson is still in this backfield. He's still just as talented, if not even more, than Damian Harris, if you look at his metrics. Because he was 12th in yards after contact per attempt, as well as being 9th in yards per route run amongst running backs. So, looking at Harris, who, even if we want to parse through other metrics, like he was 33rd in opportunity share and weighted opportunity. It was basically, he lived off of touchdowns. We know he has no pass game role. And I don't see, basically we saw probably the best case scenario for Damian Harris last year. So doubling down on the bet that we get that 2 years in a row is not a bet I'm willing to make. If he was going in like as a middling RB3, then maybe I'd be a little bit more in on this. But I don't think that we're fully baking in the downside for Damian Harris in this backfield, as well as the fact that like the touchdowns aren't there. That's where he's going to be. He's going to be somewhere in the RB30 range. So I just can't pay the price. It's too much risk.
Yeah, mentioning the touchdowns, I actually tweeted something like a couple minutes before we started recording today at the Fantasy Pros account, where there were only 6 players last season who had at least 90 points scored inside the red zone in 2021. And the names are like Austin Eckler, no surprise, Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, Joe Mixon, Zeke, and Damian Harris was 6th on that list. So definitely some room for regression there if he's not getting the same touchdown scoring. Now, Erickson, you are about 25 points higher on Harris than Debro is in your rankings. You have him at 50th overall. You're not scared of the competition there, running back into Bill Belichick offense, all that stuff?
No, I definitely have some. I am scared. I just don't like the range that Harris and the other running backs are going. I look at where he's ranked in terms of like the way I have the running backs tiered out, and you know, I've thought about moving Harris down because I know that his ADP has been falling, and I want to make sure that I'm not suggesting to people that follow my rankings to like be really extremely bullish on Damian Harris and like, oh, like draft him at 64th overall. No, I don't think that you should necessarily do that. But when I look at the other running backs in that range, I'm like, okay, Damian Harris or J.K. Dobbins. I'm like, okay, like J.K. Dobbins, like he ran hot on touchdowns the last time we saw him play. He doesn't have a pass catching role. Like, why is Dobbins so much better than Damian Harris? So like those types of running backs, I mean, he's in the dead zone for a reason because he doesn't have, he's a limited ceiling. I think that's what the Debro, I think, is trying to talk about, where you don't see a path where Damian Harris is going to be a top 5 running back. It's like, that's not going to happen because he doesn't have a role as a receiver, and he'd have to score like 20 touchdowns to basically get there. And that's just not something that you can really confidently project. But when I just look at trying to move other running backs ahead of him, I'm like, I can't, because I'm like, I'm not convinced that any of the other running backs that I have like right behind him are so much better than Damian Harris, where Debro did point out like Damian Harris is a good running back. Like, he was really good across the board in terms of efficiency. So we know he's good, and we know he has a red zone role in that offense. And I don't think the Patriots offense is going to just take this massive step back because they lost Josh McDaniels. If anything, like, I think they can be at least as good as they were last year with Mac Jones entering his second season. And, you know, why is Harris going to lose the red zone role? Like, that's his role. He was good at it last year. So why would they not continue to keep feeding him? And then you can also buy into the narrative that if you look at Bill Belichick in terms of running backs in their contract years, Belichick runs them into the ground. Like, that's what he's done. So people look at the additions of some of these, you know, day 3 picks. Oh, man, they added Kevin Harris. They drafted Pierre Strong. Belichick doesn't play the rookie running backs ever. You know, Ramondre Stevenson playing at all last year was so rare to see. And he barely got out of the doghouse for the first 6 weeks of the season. There was no Ramondre Stevenson at all. So they could just, you know, bury Harris, give him a ton of carries, and they go, right, bye, go sign with the Raiders and Josh McDaniels next year. So I think that there is a little bit more upside with in that element when I look at Harris, but I get that there's no, the pass catching ceiling is definitely limited.
Before we move on with the show, I just want to tell you about Omaha Steaks. Guys, I finally got my package of Omaha Steaks sent to me, and I cannot tell you how delicious these meats were. Here's a little gift-giving wisdom from Omaha Steaks. Dads want steaks. And with Father's Day right around the corner, there isn't a better gift than Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, type Fantasy Pros in the search bar, and order the Dads Want Steaks package. For just $99, which is an incredible value, this limited time package includes 16 mouthwatering entrees that he's guaranteed to love, like smoky, tender, bacon-wrapped filet mignons. That's my personal favorite, actually. Gourmet jumbo franks, their air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, and for a sweet finish, delicious caramel apple tartlets. As a special gift for our listeners, when you type Fantasy Pros in the search bar and order the Dads Want Steaks package, you'll also get 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers, my second favorite part of the package. These burgers are full of bold, beefy flavor made from 100% Omaha Steaks. Don't wait. Send Dad more than just a gift. Send him an experience he'll love and can share with you. Go to omahasteaks.com and type Fantasy Pros into the search bar and order the Dads Want Steaks package. You'll get 16 entrees and 4 desserts plus 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers. Erickson, give me your next player to avoid.
I'm going to the quarterback position here, and just someone has to say, look, Patrick Mahomes is overrated in fantasy football. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he may be the best quarterback in real life, him and Josh Allen, but he's
RIP
overrated.
Your mentions.
He's overrated in fantasy. Look, he was 4th in fantasy points per game last year, which was same as Justin Herbert. He just lost his best wide receiver weapon, and they've replaced him with a bunch of other ancillary pieces. Valdez Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore. Now, maybe those guys can get together, put together production to match what Hill was doing. But, I mean, look, the duo of Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, they've combined for 41 passing touchdowns since 2016. That's the second most over that span. Guys, Patrick Mahomes didn't become the starter until 2018. So you're taking away a player that gave Mahomes that spiked weeks. Like all of those massive weeks for Mahomes where he'd win you a week, and he's quarterback 2 in ADP. And he was just as good as Justin Herbert was last year with Tyreek Hill. Why am I not taking Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes? Justin Herbert has all of his weapons. He has a pass heavy offense. Like, I don't have, like, what are the question marks about Justin Herbert? Where there's massive question marks about Patrick Mahomes.
So this is about where he's going within the quarterback position, not that people are drafting quarterbacks too high.
Well, I think even that too. I mean, overall is 32. So you have to draft him in the top 3 rounds. Like, I want to take a stud wide receiver. I want to take a stud running back because, no, I'm taking Jalen Hurts, man. Like, I'm taking Jalen Hurts in round 6. Like, that's probably the first place I'm going to look at quarterback. But besides that, like, I'm not taking someone like Mahomes. And if you had to force me to take a quarterback, I'd rather just take Justin Herbert in round 4. So, yeah, Mahomes, I think that he's just overrated in fantasy.
Debro, speaking of running backs in the dead zone, give me your next player to avoid.
I'm just throwing tons of shade at the running back position right now. It's Elijah Mitchell. He's going as a top 50 player, 49th overall, RB24. And before everybody gets this out here, this is not because I'm some massive Tyrion Davis Price stan, Trey Sermon. Yes, I loved him last year. We can adjust our opinions. With Elijah Mitchell, there is a downside to him. And I don't think that we can necessarily expect him to just roll back and do what he was doing. And I understand some of that's priced into where he's going, but I don't think it's priced into the risk enough because, yes, he was RB14 in fantasy points per game last year. But you're also looking at, he didn't do these things off of efficiency. He did it because he garnered all the work as a player that was 13th in snap share, 3rd in opportunity share, and he had the 13th most carries in the NFL. But he didn't do much with them. You can't say that he was massively efficient when he was outside the top 25 running backs in evaded tackles, breakaway run rate, and yards created per touch. So if he doesn't just own this backfield this year, which he might not, they spent another 3rd-round pick on Tyrion Davis Price. Maybe he doesn't get into the doghouse. Maybe Trey Sermon gets out of the doghouse. We really can't discount anything. And everybody is so sure that Elijah Mitchell is just going to roll back. I mean, they're drafting him as a top 24 back. Roll right back into this lead role. Oh, yeah, because look, we're so sure with Trey Sermon last year. No way he considering get the role. Oh, wait, a 6th-round running back cucked him. Took his job in camp. Oh, that can never happen again because Elijah Mitchell produced for us last year. I'm not going to live in last year. So we talked about taking cheaper options and less risk. Yeah, give me Tyrion Davis Price later in a draft. Give me Trey Sermon, who's free and nobody wants him. Because if we see a range of outcomes and Elijah Mitchell doesn't walk out of camp with a job, there's no way in heck I consider and draft him where he's going as a top 50 player. Give me a wide receiver, or I'm just going to take the other guys in this backfield that are for pennies versus Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, I would just ask anybody drafting Mitchell highly, when are you going to learn the lesson on Kyle Shanahan? Like, at some point, it's got to stick. I'm just not going to trust him. Erickson, you've got another running back up next.
Yeah, we got to just talk about all these running backs we just don't want to draft at their prices because we don't hate players. We hate ADPs, as the common folks say. So I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas Cowboys running back, overall 36, running back 18. And Zeke is here in this spot because of what he's done. Like, he's not here in the middle of the RB2 range because we're projecting him to be an RB2. Like, oh, this is where he's going to be. It's because of what he's been in the past. And last year, he was awful from an efficiency standpoint, finished fifth worst in PFF's elusive rating, averaged fewer fantasy points per game than in 2020, where he had a much worse situation around him. And, I mean, career low in touches last year, 284 touches per game, 16.7, was three fewer than in 2020. Tony Pollard had three more touches per game than he did the year previously. So he's only finished as a top 12 fantasy running back in 35% of his games over the last two seasons. I think that Zeke is the classic example of, oh, well, he beat ADP. Like, he's going to beat his ADP. Okay, so Zeke finishing as RB14 for your team, averaging middling RB2 production every single week. Now, in certain roster constructions, like, I was actually thinking about this from, like, a best ball perspective, where Zeke makes a lot of sense if you're doing, like, some hyper-fragile running back approach where Zeke's probably not going to miss any games. Like, he's probably pretty locked in. So if you're going to draft, like, four running backs and that's it on your best ball team, then, okay, like, that's probably where you'd want to have Zeke. But Zeke's not going to be the guy in week 17 that's going to bully his way to a massive finish to win your fantasy championship. Like, that's just not in his range of outcomes anymore unless he scores three touchdowns. So I just don't think that he's a difference maker at this stage in his career. I think that he's really like the poster boy of dead zone running back, where we're kind of just holding on to hopes that Zeke can just be the same guy he once was, when that's the only reason he's being ranked this high anyway, because everything else, all the peripheral usage, all the metrics are clearly stating that Zeke is a running back that's on the back nine, not the front nine, and be someone that you should be definitely not drafting instead targeting one of these league winning wide receivers. Like, the fourth round is just filled with these awesome wide receivers that I just can't justify taking an aging Ezekiel Elliott, who, yeah, maybe he'll play all 16 games, but I know at the end of the day, I'm just going to get RB2 production. He was RB16 in points per game last year. So that's why I just can't draft Zeke right now at his price.
Yeah, Zeke, not only a poster boy for a running back dead zone, also a poster boy for draft the player, not the name. If his name wasn't Ezekiel Elliott, I just can't imagine, based on everything we know about the profile, he'd be going this high. D-Bro, we're moving into a wide receiver finally from you for your next player to avoid.
Yeah, before I get to this next player, I love Erickson's call of Zeke. And I'm not saying that he's exactly the same as this player I'm about to mention, but there are a lot of parallels, and I'm not saying that he's going to miss the entire year or things like that, but talented running back behind him, a running back that we're trying to talk ourselves into. He's going to be a lead back, and he's going to sit here and get volume. Oh my Lord, he's such a good value. I get all these eerie Chris Carson vibes of all the reasons and things that people were making a case for him last year. And I'm not saying, look, Erickson talked about Zeke's probably going to play all the games, but I'm with you, and this is definitely a situation to tread lightly. So getting to this next player, why is Chris Godwin going at wide receiver 20, 53rd overall? Like, is nobody factoring in the fact, all the talk about where he's at in ACL recovery when he had the injury? Like, we're just discounting it and saying, nope, we're just going to draft Chris Godwin and he's going to play all the games. He's going to roll right back in with Tom Brady. They're going to just pop champagne and it's going to be Super Bowl party.
TB12 method, man. TB12 method just cures ACLs.
I don't get it, man. Like, you look at some of these ADPs and people are like, yep, Chris Godwin's he's just going to start out and be the same guy we've always seen. DeAndre Hopkins is not missing six games of the fantasy season, and he didn't take a downtick. Like, we see these guys in ADPs are just like, nah, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's all gravy. I don't get it, guys. Like, how are we talking ourselves into Chris Godwin as a top 24 wide receiver? I get the reasons to draft him, but the downside, him starting on the pup, him missing games, him not being as effective coming off of the ACL, and Russell Gage, who was really productive last year. We talked about him on the hot take episode. We can't say that he's not going to assume the number two role in this offense. And I'm sorry if that hurts anybody's feelings on Chris Godwin love, but these factors need to be considered when you're deciding, okay, I'm going to press the button and Chris Godwin is a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah, you do wonder, looking at his ADP, where he would be if Tom Brady hadn't unretired. Of course, he did, so We see him at wide receiver 20 right now. Erickson, give me your next player to avoid.
Yeah, I know this one's gonna hit home for you, Ryan. So Mark Andrews, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. It's the price, man. Overall 21, so it's a top two pick that you have to spend. He's tight end two off the board behind Travis Kelce. And look, this is the classic chasing last year's points when you should have wanted to draft Mark Andrews last year. Like, and you're drafting Mark Andrews based on what he did in 2021, and I just don't expect that to happen again. You look at the way that the Ravens operated, they became this pass-heavy offense due to necessity. Their defense was decimated with injuries. They had to increase their pass play rate by almost 10% from the 2 years prior. 56% it was last year, 2 years prior, 46%, which was dead last in the NFL right next to the Tennessee Titans. So I expect that the Ravens are going to get back to their run-first approach that they had so much success doing with a healthy Lamar Jackson, and that's why I'm out on Mark Andrews at that ADP. It's just bonkers to pay that much for a player that had career highs in routes run and in all of these peripheral usage numbers that are going to be impacted by an offense that decides to run the ball more than pass the ball. So even if his target share remains high, which I expect it to be, it's not going to necessarily mitigate the fact that the offense itself is going to be throwing less. And it's really a price point too. Just it's so much to pay for someone like Mark Andrews where, I mean, I've seen him even go ahead of Travis Kelce at points. And for me, Travis Kelce is so much safer of a pick. I know the Chiefs are going to throw the ball a ton. And I know that he's going to be the number one receiver on that offense. Like, I don't have any question marks about Travis Kelce in terms of just besides like his age. I know that he's still going to produce when he's on the field to an extent that I feel good about investing a high-end draft pick in Travis Kelce. But Mark Andrews, you also have to talk about Rashad Bateman. He's a really good wide receiver. Like, that's that's something you have to keep in mind too. So Mark Andrews is just too expensive for me.
Now, so yes, what you said is all very good.
Bingo.
But what I will counter with is Hollywood Brown is gone, and while they are going to throw less, they are still going to throw some. And Rashad Bateman, who I adore, you guys both know, I got your opinions when I traded for him in a dynasty league recently. I'm expecting huge things. He hasn't done it yet for a full season. Mark Andrews, I think even if Rashad Bateman does take a huge leap, will still be Lamar's favorite target in Baltimore. Again, like, they don't have to throw. Lamar doesn't have to throw for 5,000 yards for Mark Andrews to still get a solid 1,300 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns.
Is Mark Andrews being priced at his ceiling or his floor? Just answer me that question.
Certainly the ceiling. Obviously, if you're a tight end going in the first two rounds, you're being priced at your ceiling, which is legitimate. But you're also somebody who said you didn't want to go for the mid round tight ends, so you either have to pay up for those big name tight ends early because they do seem to go earlier every year, or you're stuck, you know, just trying to take a swing on a sleeper late. So that's what I would say to that as a totally non-biased Ravens fan. T-Bro, give me your number five player to avoid.
We could have just saved 10 minutes on this podcast and just said that the anti-Mark Andrews argument is just Rashad Bateman and just moved on. I mean, really, that like we just could have saved all of that. But anyway, moving on to the next player. For players that I continue to shade, and I Friedman, I know your ears are burning, my man, and Twitter does not like it. Allen Robinson is going as a top 30 wide receiver, 70th overall, and I am just not in on it. I know Andrew's going to push back on this. I get it. Just wait a second, Erickson. With Allen Robinson, everybody wants to write off of last year's season, but we need some context. He was in his age 28 season. There is a range of outcomes where Allen Robinson is just not good anymore. That is possible. And just because the Rams gave him a contract and what have you does not mean that, like, that's still not in his range of outcomes. Robinson was, there's no way to shade this guy. It's like, Robinson was terrible last year. And I love the player, but when you're telling me he was 79th out of 90 wide receivers in yards per route run, he was 66th in PFF grade, and now he's going into a role where their memory of what Odell Beckham did and the volume he got is a lot shinier than what actually happened. An 18.7% target share, and you're talking about a guy that over the stretch of when he was the starter amongst wide receivers with at least three starts, because I don't want to get guys like, oh, he played one game and he scored 20 fantasy points. He played two games and he averaged 22, whatever. amongst those wide receivers, when Odell Beckham was a full-time starter with the Rams, wide receiver 31. And there's a lot of spots where you're seeing Allen Robinson not just go as a top 30 wide receiver, but top 24. Like on best ball ADP on Underdog, he's going inside the top 24 wide receivers. I've seen people take him even earlier just to wrap up like Stafford and Kupp and Ram stacks. And I just can't do it, guys. Like we're not equating the range of outcomes. And even when people talk about what Odell Beckham did last year in this offense, it's still puffed up a lot. I think the memories of what Odell did, just because, oh, he got out of Baker's shadow and now he's scoring touchdowns and it's a feel-good story. There's a lot of risk with Allen Robinson this year, and it's not being priced into his ADP and where he's going in drafts.
So I don't want to take too much time on this because we have a lot of other players we want to get to, but this is the player of the 20 names you guys gave me that had the widest gap between where you guys rank them right now. D-Bro, you have Allen Robinson 86th. Erickson has him 40th. So Erickson, I have to give you a chance to rebut what was just said.
Well, I mean, Allen Robinson has never played with a quarterback like Matthew Stafford his entire career, in his entire life. And Allen Robinson has never been a receiver that even when he's had success in fantasy, it's never been because he's been this uber efficient guy. It's been because of volume. It's because he's seen, you know, 150 targets in multiple seasons. It's because he's scored touchdowns. And you look at the situation with the Rams, if he steps in and becomes the number two receiver there in an offense that we expect to be efficient with Stafford, like, yeah, I see the path where Allen Robinson can be successful. And no, I don't have him ranked as, you know, a wide receiver one or anything like that. Like, he is a, you know, back end wide receiver two for me. And I think that's appropriate based on the production that Beckham put up. So I'm not as low on D-Bro because I just look at Stafford. Like, I'm looking just like at the quarterback. Can this quarterback unlock something from this wide receiver? And I see Allen Robinson as a weapon in the red zone. Like, they don't use Tyler Higbee in that way. So I just think that that's why I'm higher on Allen Robinson, because I just want pieces of good offenses. So it's like, you know, I'm going to take a shot on Allen Robinson, and then I'm going to take a shot on Van Jefferson later in the drafts. And if Robinson washes out and then Van Jefferson ends up becoming the guy there, it's like, okay, whatever. I hit on one of the Rams receivers, but I can't just dissuade a player that has been a wide receiver one in fantasy and is now playing with the best quarterback of his entire career. I just can't dismay that totally.
Before we move on with the show, I just want to tell you about Pristine Auction. I know the listeners are hoping to win some of the cool gear we're giving away with the help of our friends at Pristine Auction, but those aren't the only amazing deals over at the site. They've got daily auctions with hundreds of items of cool swag that are perfect for any fan cave, for fans or fantasy managers of any player. They guarantee authenticity, and just as important, it's affordable. Most people think cool gear like this is beyond their means, but the truth is a lot of these items are much more affordable than you might think, including, for me as a Ravens fan, multiple signed Ray Lewis career highlight stat jerseys that sold this week for under $100. One of them even sold for under $50. And they got tons more on the site where it's quick and free to register and also free to bid. When you head to the site, enter Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field listed at the top of the page. It's totally free, and when you use the code, you'll get a free $5 credit. So sign up at pristineauction.com today. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Erickson, give me your next player.
Going back to the wide receiver position, someone that was a wide receiver one last year, Tyreek Hill, overall 18, wide receiver 7. I just don't like the fit with Tua Tagovailoa. Tagovailoa does not have a confident deep ball, in my opinion. 34th in average depth of target last year. You have a prominent running game coming in from Mike McDaniel, coming from the 49ers offense. Second-year wide receiver Jaylen Waddle is still there. I expect him to be also heavily involved in the offensive game plan. Hill posted yards after the catch per reception, 4.3, ranked 42nd. His yards per route run ranked 11th last year. His average depth of target dipped dramatically, which was his lowest since his rookie season. So I think Tyreek Hill's not a player that is ascending. And when I'm looking at wide receivers, just kind of bring it back to the Allen Robinson conversation, I'm looking for receivers in good offenses attached to quarterbacks that can unlock their upside, unlock their potential. Tua is not that guy. Like, Tua, I don't view Tua as someone that's going to unlock Tyreek Hill. If anything, he's going to be the anchor to Tyreek Hill. And it's going to be like, man, if only Tyreek Hill had X quarterback. Like, that's the conversation I feel like we're going to have more often than not. And not that, oh, like, this was the perfect meeting of matches in terms of getting Tyreek Hill with Tua. So I just don't think that's a good fit. And Tyreek Hill can't take advantage of his best quality, which is winning downfield with Tua. So I just don't like the fit. And I think it's way too expensive to pay for a top 20 wide receiver, or excuse me, top 10 wide receiver, when I could get Jalen Waddle just cheaper. Like, who's going to lead the team in targets? Like, anyone that just says it's going to be Tyreek Hill, okay, you're just looking at the numbers. But who's better? I don't know. I mean, Jalen Waddle looked really damn good as a rookie wide receiver breaking the receptions record. So, and he also already has built-in chemistry with the quarterback. So I'd rather just take Waddle a couple rounds later.
Debro, give me your next player.
To a shade. It's you hate to see it. You really do. but speaking of shade, I'm just going to move on to Josh Jacobs. 33rd overall, people. RB17? Huh? What? Why? I get he was RB13 in fantasy points per game last year. You really think he's going to repeat that? Considering he was not efficient at all and he got a massive amount of volume. 9th in opportunity share and weighted opportunities, 11th in carries, and 9th in targets. But he didn't do anything with all that volume. I get he had the fantasy points. He was not efficient at all. He was 40th in fantasy points per opportunity and outside the top 30 in breakaway run rate and yards per route run. Now you add in Ameer Abdullah, Brandon Bolden. You still have Kenyon Drake, who was a really, really efficient pass catcher as well. Jacobs is not going to be running routes, and I think he's going to have competition, both in early downs from Kenyon Drake and the passing routes. And if the Raiders just throw more and Jacobs is not a part of that, and we don't see rushing rates, and we know that Gruden's not there anymore just to decide that in late in games he wants to run, or early in games he wants to run and throw late and do all this other cockamamie crazy stuff. Josh McDaniels, they could just air the ball out, and Jacobs, the efficiency's not there. He's losing because everybody points to, oh, he got targets and he got target share. He wasn't good with it. He hasn't been good as a receiver his entire NFL career. He's just not efficient in that area. So we need to sit here and finally put to rest all of this, he caught passes at Alabama. Like, we're past that. We've seen long enough sample size in the NFL to know that, like, okay, maybe he's just not good at it. We're not going to see that ever again, people. So Josh Jacobs is a top 20 running back? No, thank you.
Just to state for the record, Debro has Jacobs at 73rd overall. Erickson has him at 42nd overall. So another big gap there. But I'm actually more curious to hear what Erickson has to say about his next player to avoid, a running back that a lot of people are very high on.
Yeah, it's my number four player, Javonte Williams, running back for the Denver Broncos. And this is a take that I have cultivated just recently as I've kind of gone through my own rankings and kind of updating things as I do more research on players. But Javonte Williams, RB9, it's just way too high. Like, this is bonkers. They brought back Melvin Gordon, who, you ask anybody and they'll say Melvin Gordon is total dust. But when you look at what he did last year, he was really efficient. 8th in PFF rushing grade and forced missed tackles. He had 231 touches. That was 16th in the NFL last year. So it wasn't a sample of this old dusty veteran had like 3 big runs and did nothing else, and that's why his numbers were really good. It's like, no, Melvin Gordon actually was pretty good. And Melvin Gordon is still a good running back. I know we would like to write off these guys the minute that they turn a certain age, but he's not even 30 yet, number one. He's still 29, the ripe age of 29 years old. So he's still in pristine condition. Doesn't need to go to the auto body shop quite yet. And when you look at all the rhetoric that's coming out from Denver, from Nathaniel Hackett, from the running backs themselves, like, there's no plans on abandoning this two-back rotation. And look at what Hackett did with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. It's like they are going to have two running backs in this offense. So unless you think Javonte Williams is Aaron Jones, which, look, Aaron Jones is one of the best running backs in the NFL. Like, I don't think Javonte is there yet. And I'm pretty sure Aaron Jones, you never had to take at RB9. Like, in Aaron Jones' like best seasons, he was always someone you could get so much later on because he was a value because there were other running backs in usage in Green Bay. Now Javonte Williams is in that same scenario, but there is no price suppression with him whatsoever based on Melvin Gordon being back there. Like, last year, guys, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon finished back to back RB17 and RB18, but Melvin Gordon led the team in red zone touches. Why would they just give it to a different running back in the red zone? We've talked about Russell Wilson and his connection with Melvin Gordon. He trusts Melvin Gordon. So I think that it's just way too much to pay for Javonte Williams at RB9, when I could draft Melvin Gordon at RB36, who has the same upside in the Denver Broncos offense if he's the goal line back? And what happens if Javonte gets hurt? Oh my God, Melvin Gordon, we're going to be ranking a top 10 running back every single week, where Javonte Williams, we're already ranking as a top 10 running back, or at least per ADP, he's not even close to my top 10.
Yeah, Javonte is probably the best example of any of the names we're talking about today of how this list would be different in a dynasty format versus redraft. Of course, Javonte is still only 22 years old. I think everybody would agree that he still is ceiling through the roof. But yeah, the re-signing of Gordon, it doesn't seem to me like Melvin Gordon is being priced into Javonte Williams' ADP.
He is in our ranks.
I mean, I have cried over so many running backs that were going to year two that I thought were like, can't miss, going to take the next step. Like, it happens every single year. Like, Josh Jacobs, year two, I thought he was going to smash.
Antonio Gibson came last year.
Antonio Gibson, they just don't come to fruition. And Javonte, especially because Melvin Gordon is, like, the best, probably, in terms of, like, a veteran backup running back. Like, people are worried about, you know, Brian Robinson with Antonio Gibson, like, a fifth-year senior coming out from Alabama, where no one seems to care whatsoever that Melvin Gordon, who's been like an RB1 in fantasy for multiple seasons, has a legitimate role on this offense. People are like, nah, like Javonte, take Lock, keep him in the top 10.
We're going to go through these last three for each of you guys pretty quickly. Debro, give me your number three player to avoid.
Okay. I guess I'm just going to stay on the hater train. I've talked about him. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes the fact that I don't like him. Where he's going in drafts, Juju Smith-Schuster, 82nd overall, wide receiver 33, can't pay the price. He is being drafted as a top 30 wide receiver, going even a little bit higher in some different formats. For a player that's seen his yards per, and I keep talking about this, but people keep drafting him, so I'm bringing him up again, okay? Just gonna keep doing it. He's seen his yards per route run decrease in every single season of the last 4 years. And this is not injuries, this is injury, like whatever you want to talk about. This is including the 110 catch year, all those different parts. And his yak per reception has dropped as well. So, inefficient player, or surrounded by other talented players, I cannot give him the Patrick Mahomes bump and put him as a top 36 wide receiver. Can't do it. Can do that to Sky Moore, can't do that to Juju.
For the record, again, Debro has Juju at 114th overall. Erickson's got him at 85th. So that's another big gap there. Erickson, who's your number three player to avoid?
Debo Samuel, wide receiver slash running back slash I want to be Debo Samuel. Overall, he's in the top 20. And I think that he's wide receiver. He's in the top six, I believe, in terms of ADP. I got my notes mixed up here a little bit. But basically, when I look at Debo, is kind of in the Mark Andrews ilk, where last year was the year to have Debo. Like, that was the special season to have Debo Samuel. No wide receiver had more points over expectation than Debo Samuel did. 30% of his production came from rushing. He had 365 rushing yards. He had 8 rushing touchdowns, which all happened in the second half of the season. It wasn't even the first. He, like, had no rushing production in the first half. He had, like, 8 rushing touchdowns on the back nine of the season. And there, I faded Debo last year because I thought Trey Lance was going to be the starter. Like, you know, be fully transparent, I was totally wrong. But I think that I would have looked better in the standings if Trey Lance had actually become the starter of the 49ers offense. Because I've done a lot of research in terms of mobile quarterbacks taking away the short to intermediate throws and targets from some of these receivers. And I thought Debo was going to suffer because of that. You know, we saw Debo with an extremely low average depth of target in 2020. So I was concerned, oh man, all the dump offs to Debo are now going to become Trey Lance rushing attempts. And that's something I'm considering now once again. Like, I'm not going to forget about that analysis because I think that it's still accurate. It's still projectable heading into this season, where I think that Trey Lance will be the starting quarterback for the 49ers, at least at this time as we record on June 6th. And I also think that what's being overlooked is people will point at Debo as, oh, he had 1,400 receiving yards as well. Like, yeah, of course, he's still a top 10 receiver ranked for me. But at the same time, you know, the rushing kind of mitigated what he was going to face in terms of increased target competition. At the beginning of the season, when he was a target monster, George Kittle got hurt, Brandon Ayuk was in the doghouse. So there was no one there to compete with targets with Debo Samuel. Second half of the season, George Kittle comes back, Brandon Ayuk comes back, they make Debo a running back. So the targets disappeared, but the fantasy production was still there because of the rushing production to kind of salvage Debo's, or I shouldn't say salvage, the guy was awesome. He scored 3 touchdowns of 75 yards. But that's not sustainable. Like, that's the problem with Debo. It all came together for him in kind of the perfect storm. And those are the situations I just look to fade the next year, because it's like, now you got to pay for it. It's like, No, like last year was the year to have Debo. It's not this year. So that's why I'm fading Debo as a, you know, basically a top 20 pick, as a top 7 wide receiver.
Just to confirm for everyone, he is going as wide receiver 6 currently. Okay, in half point PPR. ADP, Debro, give me your number 2.
Erickson brought him up, and unfortunately he makes this list at number 2 for me. Antonio Gibson. I mean, look, 29th overall, RB16. I just can't. I mean, like, he could be involved in this backfield, and he could even lead them in touches, and the amount of work he's going to possibly lose is just frightening to pay top 20 running back, top 30 player price tag. Like, it's a tough pill to swallow, because you look at Antonio Gibson last year, he got there because he owned the backfield. Yeah, J.D. McKissic missed time. He was 15th in opportunity share, 4th in red zone touches. He was 27th in routes run. We know McKissic coming back is going to eat into the routes. And since 2020, he's tied with Ezekiel Elliott for the most fumbles in the NFL. He puts the ball on the turf. Brian Robinson might not be like massively in love with him as a prospect, but if he can hold on to the ball, I can't discount that Ron Rivera says, okay, I'm going to go with the guy that might not be as flashy, but we can get production out of, and he's actually going to hold on to the ball. So you've got Antonio Gibson flanked on both sides. This guy on one side is going to take the routes. This guy on the other side could take the red zone work. I can't pay top 20 price tag on a running back that really needs two players to get hurt to maybe have like a true ceiling outcome. And even last year when we saw like that happen and McKissic was not even a thing because he was hurt and Antonio Gibson was running routes, still didn't pay off as Christian McCaffrey. So I just can't.
Yeah, I didn't make a list, obviously, today. I think if I did, Gibson might have been my number one player to avoid. I'm totally in lockstep with you there. Erickson, give me your number 2.
Diontae Johnson, wide receiver of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 35th overall, wide receiver 13. Look, I'm going to keep saying it. I want wide receivers on good offenses. Like, let's not forget last year. Look at the heavily coveted rookie quarterback class. The best production from a wide receiver from a rookie quarterback was Brandon Cooks, who produces every single season, no matter what, wide receiver 20. After that, it was Jacoby Myers, wide receiver 33, and then Kendrick Bourne, wide receiver 30. So how is Kenny Pickett / Mitchell Trubisky, whoever you think is going to be the quarterback for the Steelers, going to make Diontae Johnson wide receiver 13? And why am I paying a premium for a guy that's attached to so many question marks on offense? Like, if you just look at what the Steelers are doing, it seems like they just want to feed the ball to Najee Harris 500 times. Like he's ready for it. Like, he's been bulking up. He is ready to embrace hashtag beefcake and just do everything in this offense. And when you look at Pittsburgh the last two seasons, when Diontae has been a target monster, they ranked 2nd in pass play rate over the last two seasons. During 2019, when Big Ben missed all but 2 games, Steelers were 23rd in pass play rate. So even if Johnson, you know, maintains his 26% target share, which he totally could do, like, if we don't see any, you know, we don't see Chase Claypool take another step, maybe we just see, you know, a sophomore slump from Freiermuth, we don't see it from George Pickens right away, the offense is still going to throw less. Like, I just don't think that, why would they have a rookie quarterback come in and just sling it all over the place when they have a good defense? Like, this is Mike Tomlin, Mr. I'm going to win 8 games, 9 games, no matter what. It doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense to me to then put it into the quarterback's hands when the only reason they were so pass heavy the last two seasons was because of Big Ben, because that's his style of play, where these guys can actually, you know, drop back and actually hold on to the ball, you know, produce the ball downfield a little bit more. I don't think that Diontae Johnson just has, people are drafting like Big Ben is still there and looking at it as a bad thing. But the last two seasons with Big Ben were good for Diontae Johnson. Like, you can say what you want about the inefficiencies of the targets, but the dude was getting peppered because of drop back and throw. Like, that was Big Ben. And I don't think that's going to be the offense here in 2022. So Diontae Johnson, I think this is honestly like my most confident fade at wide receiver 13. I just like don't want any part of Diontae Johnson at that price.
The counter to that would be, I do think you're right that they're going to throw, you know, way less often now, but you could also look at it and say Diontae Johnson was the 8th best receiver in PPR last season, and now he's getting a quarterback upgrade. Usually when you bring in a rookie, it's because you're building for the future. Kenny Pickett is probably a better quarterback right now than Big Ben was in 2021.
But I think that there's a difference between being a better quarterback and being a better fantasy quarterback.
That's true.
Like, I think that's like, there's a method to the madness where you're looking at, okay, Kenny Pickett can sustain more drives, but does that mean Deontay Johnson is then getting more fantasy targets? Like, the fact that Kenny Pickett can get them down the field in one play is good for the offense, but Deontay Johnson, I want my 4 for 40 on every drive. So that would be my counter argument to your counter argument.
We've already seen that, guys. I mean, I'm just going to tie a bow on this before I give my final player. Like, we've already seen this play out, what Pittsburgh wants to do when Big Ben came into the league. They weren't pass heavy. They decided to lean on the running game. So I think Pickett will be an upgrade as far as the quality of passes thrown, but I'm with Erickson. I think that this team is going to run slower. This team is also not going to throw the ball a ton. And just to add on to Erickson's point, because he didn't mention Darnell Mooney, he was only wide receiver 27. So if you want to throw him into this and say, well, Deontay Johnson, and okay, maybe he pulls a Mooney, he gets a ton of targets and things like that, still not even close to where he's being drafted at.
That's totally fair. I accept the counter to my counter. Devro, give me your number one player to avoid.
Oh, people are not going to like this one.
We've already thrown shade at Patrick Mahomes and Tua today, so let's throw another quarterback into the mix.
I mean, people, you know, they're going to hate the juju and everything like that. Look, Kyler Murray getting drafted as QB6, 58th overall, is not baking into the fact that we have seen Kyler fade in the last two seasons down the stretch. Like I talked about, Hopkins is missing 6 games, and I'm sorry for... We can't just automatically say, like, Marquise Brown, toss him into the offense, he's going to be just as productive, he's the same type of player, and Kyler's not going to miss a beat. He missed a beat last year, people. Like, he was QB6 with DeAndre under center. So you're saying, okay, I'm drafting him as a QB5, QB6. He's going to produce like nothing changed. He had 8.8 yards per attempt, 284 passing yards per game with Hopkins. Without Hopkins, or when Hopkins was even banged up, let's even throw that in there, when he came back to the field, you saw Kyler Murray drop to the QB16 in fantasy points per game. His yards per attempt fell off a cliff to 6.7, and his passing yards dropped to 251 per game. And his rushing went up a little bit, because I know that people are going to say, well, Kyler Murray's going to run. He ran at the lowest rate he's ever done in his career. And we heard all of those rumblings all offseason. Now, I discounted it and pushed it to the side last year. And I was like, Kyler Murray's going to run. We've seen that. He's going to run. That's a big part of his game. Like, whatever, Cliff. Not buying it. Not believing it. Then we saw it for an entire season. And after Hopkins was even out, he didn't just take off when he wasn't averaging 60 to 80 yards a game. I don't know that Murray is going to run that much more this year enough to sit here and take advantage of, or at least pad his stats and his fantasy production for Hopkins not being there. And I just can't. I can't pay this price for a player that we've seen this back-to-back years. I understand there's a lot of noise and a lot of different things in that sample, but we've also seen Kyler Murray struggle when Hopkins has not been on the field, and I can't just pigeonhole Marquise Brown to take over and alleviate all these concerns.
Debro's number one player to avoid dovetails quite nicely into Erickson's number one player to avoid.
Wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, 95th overall, wide receiver 38. It doesn't really seem like it's a lot, but you're still investing like a decent middle round pick into Hopkins, who is going to miss the first 6 weeks of the season. And look, I just don't think that he's going to come back and be this locked and loaded alpha wide receiver one. There's so much that can change over a 6 week period. You know, Kyler Murray could get hurt. Like, what is he even the quarterback? We don't know. You know, he runs and he's always healthy at the beginning of the season. And then, like Debro had mentioned, like the second half of the season for Kyler Murray is a disaster. So if you end up drafting Kyler Murray, I think the move is you just trade him after he has a big rushing game and you sell them on the fact that, oh, well, he's going to get Hopkins back. And that's how you kind of move Kyler Murray in a deal, because he always starts to see, like, his splits, like weeks 1 through 8 versus the rest of the season are like bonkers. Like, the guy's like averaging 30 like fantasy points per game. But with Hopkins, you know, last year he battled through injuries. He had one game with double-digit targets. He had 2 games with more than 80 receiving yards. In 2020, he had 8 games with double-digit targets and 7 games with 80 receiving yards. Now, that's like, to me, it's clearly pointing to a player that is starting to kind of come down a little bit, kind of starting to decline. I know that we love the names of these players, but you have to look at the facts. And the fact of the matter is, he was significantly worse, and I remember just like pounding DeAndre Hopkins player props last year, all unders, because they were like 85 receiving yards every single week, and I'm like, he's not the target monster he once was. Like, either it was an offensive scheme change or whatever they were doing, but it wasn't the same as it was in 2020. And there's no guarantee that they just plop him in on week seven, halfway through the fantasy football season, by the way, and then he's going to immediately command a bunch of targets. I already know week seven is going to come around. Andrew, do I start DeAndre Hopkins this week? Oh, it's going to be killing me all week long. And I'm going to just be like, why did you draft him? Did you not listen to the show on June 6th where we said to avoid DeAndre Hopkins? Like, this is what you need to do. And from a roster management, it's going to be a pain to own DeAndre Hopkins. Sit on your bench, especially if you don't have an IR spot because he's suspended. So you don't even know if you can use him in the IR spot. You're going to miss out on the Elijah Mitchells, the Cordarrelle Pattersons. I remember I didn't add Cordarrelle Patterson in one league, even though I wanted to, because I had someone like in my IR spot or something like that. And I just regretted it. Even though I knew he would have been like a great addition, I couldn't pull the trigger. And you're going to be pulling your hair out being like, I held Hopkins for 7 weeks and I got back a wide receiver 3. Like, what was I thinking? So DeAndre Hopkins, I think that's why he's my number one, because I think that he's the guy that you fade. And honestly, he has to fall so much in drafts for me to even consider taking him.
Yeah, Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports always says, injuries will find you over the course of the season, so don't start your season off with them already. Why would you want to, you know, basically play with one hand tied behind your back?
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Guys, we got through all 20 players we wanted to talk about. I did promise our Twitter followers a mailbag, so I'll squeeze in one question here at the end of the show. At the Real Adam DC asks, in a dynasty startup, what positions would you prioritize first? And I'm just going to state, he didn't say this, I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to assume this is not super flex, because if it is, we're obviously all prioritizing quarterbacks. So non-super flex, standard league, in a dynasty startup, D-Bro, I'll start with you. What position are you prioritizing?
It's best player available. So really depends on, I don't want to sound like I'm talking out both sides of my mouth or I'm giving like a lukewarm answer to this, but it depends on how your draft goes. And so for me, it comes down to best player available. I think the biggest thing I want to hammer home about this is that throughout that entire startup, don't worry about setting your lineup. Don't worry about it. You're not setting your lineup. Week one is not tomorrow as soon as the dynasty startup finishes. So saying, I need a running back 2 on my squad now, but there's a ton of wide receivers left in the player pool that are awesome. And I'm going to take this schmo that just so I can be like, woo, I got my RB2 in my startup. I filled that quota, baby. Don't do it. Don't do it. So for me, BPA all the way. And you're in the first, second round. That's fine. And draft based off of tiers.
As somebody who just completed a dynasty startup draft with D-Bro for a work league, I can confirm he very much does go just best player available, does not care about his starting lineup whatsoever. Erickson, same question to you. What are you prioritizing?
I guess if I need to pick a position, I would say, so Kyle Pitts, number one, best player available. It's probably going to be Kyle Pitts very, very soon into the draft. Just think he gives you an edge that you're just not going to possibly get ever again at tight end. And then I look for players that can accrue value. So like when I'm looking at a player, I'm like, just think about next year. It's like, I won't ever touch Zeke, for example, because I know like no matter what he does, he could score 30 touchdowns next year and he will not have higher value than he does now. Like the market is set and sold on Zeke and what he is. And yes, there's a price where he becomes a value in terms of like this year, but I know in the long term that he's not going to accrue value for me. So like, especially in like, I'm assuming when you're looking at prioritizing players in the draft, you're talking about like the first few rounds, the first 10 rounds when you're kind of in the meat of your draft, not necessarily like you're round 18 or whatever. Like you kind of just take your guys at that point. So for me, I'm looking at players that, like I mentioned, can accrue value. So looking at, okay, who's leaving in free agency on this team next year? Like who's going to ultimately look like they're going to get more opportunity in next year's, you know, draft or next year's season? So that's kind of what I'm looking for. And then when in doubt, honestly, I just probably just prefer wide receivers because I think that they just have a better chance of accruing value based on their talent as opposed to running backs, which need opportunity to produce. And I really think that it's much easier. You'll find that you can find running backs off the waiver wire sometimes that you can just like plug and play. I mean, look, Alex Collins was somebody you could have picked up off the waiver wire last year and start for a couple weeks. I know, I did. So like, but you're never going to find like these locked and loaded wide receivers. Like the best example I can think of is like Travis Fulgham, where you like started for like 3 weeks and then he just fell off the face of the earth. So I think that having a good stable of wide receivers, you're never going to be feel too upset. Like, if you're looking at your roster, you just like have like a ton of like 25, 26, 27 year old running backs, kind of like, oh, like this maybe isn't great. Like, maybe I should try to get some more receivers. And people are always looking for running backs too. So I think that receiver would probably be what I lean towards, but Debro hit the nail on the head with BPA.
Travis Fulgham is a great example of just the Obi-Wan. There's a name I've not heard in a long time. Fellas, thank you both for a fantastic episode today and for welcoming me back onto the show, even with my recovering hoarse voice. Please, everybody, remember all the awesome opportunities we mentioned today, including our Javonte Williams signed helmet giveaway, the Dads Want Steaks package at Omaha Steaks by typing Fantasy Pros into the search bar, and also get your free credit when you use code FANTASYPROS at pristineauction.com. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Debro and Erickson, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.